On Friday, October 8th, Governor Kathy Hochul's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for home health workers took effect, and while vaccinations among workers in the sector were ticking up in advance of the requirement's effective date, it's clear that potentially thousands of New Yorkers will be out of a job for non-compliance. To understand the state of the home care industry and what could happen next, we spoke Friday morning to Al Cardillo, president and CEO of the Home Care Association of New York State, which works to help New Yorkers access care in the home. Welcome to the show, Al.
Thank you very, very much. And you know, especially thank you for, you know, really giving the you know, public information, public notice to this very important issue.
So as we talk right now, do you have a sense of how many workers in the home care field are covered by this mandate? And as of your last count, considering this is a bit of an evolving situation, what do you know about the number of workers in the field who are going to find themselves out of work as the requirement takes effect?
Well, let me start by first giving a census to the proportion of the home care industry in the state, and you know, both in terms of workers and patients and agencies. So so there are about 250,000 home health aides and personal care aides in the system, about 20,000 professionals who work in home care, meaning you know, nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech pathologists, social workers, and so on. So that's sort of the breadth of the size of the home care workforce. There are estimates of as many as 700,000 patients in the state that receive home care services, and certainly well over 500,000 of them are in very critical positions in terms of the agencies that care for them. You know, Medicare, Medicaid, dual eligibles, and so on. In terms of the applicability of the mandate applies to all of the workers that I just referenced. The impact of the mandate in terms of the unvaccinated, from the best information that we have looks like this. We did a survey a couple weeks ago that tried to give us a feel for what the vaccination rate was, how many were unvaccinated, and within the unvaccinated community, how many of those individuals intend to voluntarily leave the system, of course, and if they don't voluntarily leave, they're disqualified from employment. What we found on a sample of 189 agencies, and that's out of 1,500 total in the state, but it's a pretty well representative sample geographically and organizationally, is that about 894 nurses stated their intent to leave the field. Over 10,000 home health aides stated their intent to leave the field rather than submit to vaccination. Those numbers are already staggering just from the sample that we're talking about. And one thing that's important to note, for example, is in home care, nurses have the overall supervisory responsibility for the plan of care and for the patient. Generally, the caseload is around 20 to 25 cases per nurse. So if you take the 894 and multiply it just by 20, it's over 17,000 cases that are affected by that loss in the workforce. Also important to appreciate that home care, the state of the home care workforce has really been in an emergency condition since the pandemic. So this loss of workforce would be on top of would have already been emergency workforce shortages in the state. If you were to take the numbers that I stated, the 894 and the 10,500 in the case of the aides, and extrapolate that to the statewide population, you would have to multiply that by a factor of 7 or 8 times. So that's the magnitude of what we could be talking about based on that sampling and based on those initial reports. Now, you know, we certainly all along since the vaccine first became available, we've been encouraging and working hard with our agencies to promote universal vaccination across the home care workforce. And I think, frankly, the vaccination rates are hitting some very good numbers. But the problem is that any gap in the system is very, very consequential, as demonstrated by the numbers that, that I just said to you. You know, what we're finding, even as of this morning, is that, there are many, many gaps still in the vaccination levels, despite the efforts that have been building right up until this date.
So what does that mean then for New Yorkers who rely on home healthcare workers who have decided not to get vaccinated and can't go to work?
Well, that's really the fundamental question. I know this was framed in the context of the workforce the way we started the program, but the fundamental issue are the patients that, that rely on these services. You know, and home care is really in all of the healthcare spaces. There are medically fragile children in home care. There's new moms and their infants, individuals with medically complex conditions, public health. Home care is a very core public health agency in communities. And then, of course, the disabled and the frail elderly and the terminally ill, because this is also affecting the hospice community. So so with the approach in the mandate, and I want to say we completely support Governor Hochul. We support Governor Hochul's goal in terms of the public health and where we want to get to. The issue here is really with the approach and how the mandate is being applied, which is as a cliff. It's like as of October 7th, you're either vaxxed or you're disqualified. And so that's harsh enough as it relates to the worker. But when you apply that to the patient, what it means to the patient is on October 7th, if your worker's not vaxxed, you don't have a worker. And I'm not sure that there's a full appreciation for what the void truly creates in the system. So we're for the individual who is dependent on their nurse for medication, for physical exam, for treatment of wounds, measurement of vitals that are critical to whether it's medication adjustment or whether it's consultation with a physician or their physical therapist because they're recovering from surgery. All of those things suddenly become vulnerable. Then, of course, you have individuals that are really, on constant care. And even if you can replace their worker for the day, the problem is that it's a different person. It's not somebody who's necessarily oriented to them. So, and as an example, if you take a bariatric patient, the person's 300 pounds. They're matched with a certain attendant who knows and who's capable of transferring them. It may not be the case that you can just turn to somebody else on that person's left and say, "Oh, we're going to assign you to Harry today so that you can help this person, transfer and carry out all these functions." Or if you've got a cultural or language issue, those are all very, very important ingredients. And of course, most of all is simply the familiarity of someone vulnerable in their own home with a caregiver with whom they've worked for many years often. It's not just a matter of opening your home then to a stranger. Even though they're there for noble purposes and to provide your care, they're arriving, they're masked, they don't know you, you don't know them. It's a very frightening situation. I have some anecdotes, that I received from our managed long-term care plans and our providers at 5 a.m. this morning, discussing the emotional impact on their patients and on the workers. But that's very critical. And just one other point on this, mm-hmm. The administration has, again, very, very well intentioned, offered to make available, individuals from foreign countries that they could recruit or other states or from the military or even students. But the fact of the matter is home care is a very specialized field. Even a hospital nurse who's going to be recruited to newly participate in a home care agency, it takes like 9 months to orient someone to that level of work. The assessment for home care alone in nursing takes 3 hours to do, and courses that train and certify that person to be able to do that. So it's not the kind of situation that someone well-intended can just walk up into. But when you think of the volume of just potential service loss, we're not going to be able to fill that void with the kinds of options that have been stated to date.
So the mandate from Governor Hochul, as well as her vaccine rules in the health sector more broadly, are based on the idea that they'll be a net positive for the public health of New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. What do you think, though? Will this mandate do more good than harm ultimately?
Well, I, I, you know, certainly the pursuit of the vaccination goal and the importance of protecting individuals, from inadvertent transmission of COVID, that's really critical. And it's a priority for us and has to be a priority for providers and those who work in the system. But in terms of then trying to apply that in a practical and effective way within the system, if in applying that, you actually negate 20, 30, 40% of your workforce, then I think to pose the question back to you, what are the implications for patients who then have no service? And then you think to yourself that that the displacement of the broader health system is also at risk. And what do I mean by that? Well, home care is in a very important space in the continuum of care. Individuals who are in hospitals, who are then ready for discharge, and most of the time with very complex needs, they may have catheters, central lines, post-surgical wounds that need care. Those individuals need home care on their return home to assist their safe and appropriate recovery. Individuals that are in the community who are ill need support so that they are not hospitalized. Otherwise, there's compression in the hospital. But also, we don't want older, vulnerable people in hospitals where they're also prone to becoming sicker. We don't want people in emergency rooms. And also on the primary care side, individuals with very complicated medical conditions, congestive heart failure, respiratory disease, diabetes, chronic asthma and arthritis. These are individuals that are cared for every day by home care, and in conjunction with the doctor, they're kept from these higher levels of medical need and kept from, and potentially life-threatening conditions. So that kind of system systematically, again, becomes disrupted when people can't access their services. So if hospitals need to discharge somebody on a Saturday, and now this weekend, if the staff aren't available, then that creates a blockage in the system as well as on the patient. And if you don't mind, I will share a vignette or two with you that really goes to the point of this.
Sure.
We received a phone call from a family that cares for their elderly mother. She's in her 80s. She has multiple comorbidities. She's a cancer survivor. She has diabetes. She has congestive heart failure. Well, now the physician has determined that she's in rapid kidney failure. The doctor has indicated that she needs to be hospitalized. However, the physician has told the family that he is not confident that the assets are sufficient in that hospital to meet her needs because of the hospital's cutback in their own resources or the lack of availability of their own resources due to their own vaccine mandate. So the physician has said to the family, let's try to provide these really acute level services in the home, and we'll arrange for home-based dialysis. But now the family faces the issue that the home care services might not be available to support that. And they said to me, we're looking at relocating our mother to another state, to Vermont or another state, where she can access these kinds of services. We have the case of an individual who's an older teenager who suffered a stroke. She's been waiting several months to try to get services because of the dearth of care. I was contacted by the family who said, can you help? So I spoke with one of the managed long-term care plans who's also a provider in our association. And she tearfully said to me, Al, I have three nurses who are going to be leaving my agency upon the occasion of the mandate because they have religious differences and they will not work where they have to be required to mandate. I can't open another case. So you see, so this is the kind of situation that we're going to be facing and that we're going to be seeing more and more of as we go into this. And again, I say this with the full acknowledgement that this is all for noble purposes. But going back to the question you asked me, what is the relative effect of all this, and what is the benefit? This is a consequence of the cliff policy as it's being implemented. We suggested to the administration that instead of that, this approach, to really look at a phase-up model. You begin the mandate October 7th, just as it's been applied, but you really look at a phase-up basis. You create a threshold and milestones for agencies to continue to work up to get their staff to the maximal level. In the meantime, that allows agencies to continue to work with their staff to get them vaccinated, because that's the ideal. Keep your staff, get them vaccinated. But the other part of it is you don't lose the service to the patients who desperately need it. And it doesn't assume that there's a ready workforce coming in to replace all those people, because that is not a realistic view. Since the pandemic, not only is the worker shortage in extreme proportions, but the new entrants to the field are in a trickle. So there's no way to trickle in a replacement for a massive fallout in your workforce. Just two quick points of statistics. An agency contacted me yesterday at the end of the day. I said, how are you doing? What was your experience today? This agency is at 96% vaccination level with their home health aides. They had to suspend 175 aides yesterday because of the mandate. Now, they're still going to work to try to get some of those vaccinated, but that was what the result was. Another agency with 96% of vaccination rate in their staff, in an effort to get to even to 98%, are going to lose critical therapists and aides. I did a quick survey yesterday at the end of the day of 9 agencies. Those 9 agencies will have to suspend over 900 aides because they don't meet the vaccination requirement. Now, again, they're going to continue to try to work with these individuals, even though they're now out of work. They're going to try to work with them to try to get them vaccinated. But this is the kind of consequence and dislocation that's occurring right now, when I think that could be avoided if we really went to the model that I described to you.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Al Cardillo. He's the president and CEO of the Home Care Association of New York State. Al, thank you so much for making the time and filling us in on this issue.
You're very welcome, and really thank you for helping to bring this to really everyone's attention, just the importance of this issue.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.